spend another show from this trio of tenuous friends. I don't know, if it were me, I'd probably throw the towel in, but hell, I guess they'll try it again. Here's the general concept of what they will do. Ooh, they find a piece of media they want to review. Ooh, provided that it ties into the riddle purview. Ooh, so now it's time for Hey Randall Riddles Review Crew.
Thomas and Friends and the Mystery of Lookout Mountain.
Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-trains. Come on!
Hey, everybody, it's Jay. Say it with me.
P-C.
Say it with... No, everything has to take way longer than it should. Say it with me. C.
C.
What does that spell?
I don't know what it spells, and honestly, I'm scared to find out.
Blink, blink. Blink, blink.
Oh, hello, everybody, and welcome to Review Crew.
We are doing the Columbo pilot again.
Just one more thing.
this is going to be, and this is such a joy to announce, our first kid-friendly Review Crew episode.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was a joke, but
deletes
I wonder, can we do it?
All the swears I had written down to say.
Here's my thing. I don't know that I can talk about this for a full hour without saying fuck a couple of times.
Yeah.
I'm gonna want to say fuck. And also, at the introduction of one character, I'm gonna want to say big old drill cock.
Oh, thank you, Casey. And you know what I'm going to say? JPC, I feel like you could have stopped the sentence at, I don't know if I can talk about this for an hour. there just doesn't seem to be enough to say.
It's also going to be hard for me to talk about this for an hour. But you know what? So, yeah, so scratch that. If you were listening and you gathered all your kids all around the radio and you said, look, kids, you're my daddy's favorite. They're going to do an all clean episode. Well, no, we're not going to do that. So that's your fault for being fucking stupid for assuming that we were.
Here's my thing. Aaron, I think you're 100% right. This movie was 60 minutes long. And I got to say, this movie could have been an email. This this is padded so heavily. It's 3 minutes of content stretched out into 60 minutes.
Yes, but, so, okay, we have to say up top.
Yes.
What we watched is technically a mystery. It is not for us. So we are reviewing something for children, and I told
Mariah. We are not the demographic for this.
I was watching it with my little son, Jake, and he was having a great time. Mariah, I was saying, this is interminable. I can't believe that I'm watching this, but I get it. Because it could have been 15 minutes, but it needed to be an hour. Because if it was 15 minutes, Daddy's break would only be 15 minutes. But Daddy's break gets to be an hour. Daddy can take a little nap, drink his wines, and go about his day, have his bath.
So Thomas and Friends, The Mystery of Lookout Mountain, is on Netflix. It's new. It just hit the streets.
It says 2022. It says 2022 on the year it was made. So maybe it's new to Netflix and it was somewhere
else before
that. On
Nickelodeon or somewhere else? Because it came to Netflix on April 1st.
Yes, as a joke. This is my first exposure. I know about Thomas the Tank Engine in the zeitgeist of the world. I know it's a thing. For some reason, I know Ringo Starr is like the voice of the conductor. Is that a thing? I think. Maybe I'm making
like currently? Like modern day? Or are you saying at
original,
one point?
Original. At one point, okay. Yeah. So I know it's been around a minute. I know that it's a big thing. It's a big to-do. I was really thrilled, because this is my first time actually watching content from the IP. I'm baffled by, there's a few things I'm baffled by. One, there's so many characters. There's so many characters, and they kind of, they're always together. It's almost like if Ninja Turtles had, like, if there's 20 Ninja Turtles and they barely split up. They're always kind of, it's so confusing. There's a lot going on. It's very busy. Also, amongst those characters, almost all their faces are exactly the same. It's kind of the inverse of humans. All their faces are exactly the same and their bodies are wildly different.
Well, now, some faces are circles and some faces are squares.
Touché.
The two face types.
Touché. It felt very busy. I couldn't remember anyone's name. And then there's characters. There's like an electric train character. There's like a woman who's like a bullet train. And she just kind of shows up. I don't know if they ever say her name, and she just kind of shows up, and then she's part of the gang. And then, like, somebody else shows up, and they're just part of the gang. Like, it, I don't
understand.
There's
so many characters for a kid's movie. I actually can't even believe it.
I don't know how, as a kid, I thought you kept things simple, but this is so, so busy.
But this feels like maybe not the first in whatever series of things this is,
sure.
Right? This felt like you should have known these characters from, like, other interactions with these characters, right?
Yeah, I guess.
That's the impression I got. I don't know.
Okay, Mighty Mighty Boss Stones.
I did not.
Is that who's
saying
that?
Never had I seen this show.
I went in being pretty stressed because I assumed it was going to be the animation style of Thomas the Tank Engine that I was familiar with, which is creepy. I've sent you all an email. Yeah, I think it's like even early 2000s, like computerized face where his face is raised up. It's not this like fun, slick animation where the faces are flat and they can do whatever they want to the face. Like, this is a creepy vibe of a tank engine, and I was so relieved to see the animation style change.
So this has been around. I think Thomas the Tank Engine started in like the 90s, but it was based on some children's books that like a reverend, like he was like a minister who loved trains, made some children's books about like morality plays, I guess. And that's
like
kind of
tales.
Yeah, I think so. But maybe VeggieTales maybe was more Christian. I think this was just like a cartoon with like some maybe like vaguely Christian messages.
Yeah, VeggieTales is like he is raisin. Like it's a lot of like.
Yeah.
All I knew about
the teachings of Christ into vegetables.
Thomas, if you will, was how much I hated his face.
Wow.
So that's what I came into with this. So I ended up being pleasantly surprised, going, I get it. I get a 3-year-old. All 3-year-olds are obsessed with trains.
Yeah. Mm.
This is way less scary, way less like weird, gummy, gray face horror movie trains. So if you're familiar with the old animation style of Thomas, you're safe here. You're going
to
be okay.
Old gummy gray face ain't what she used to be.
I also don't know, Aaron, and maybe you can tell me because I also never watched Thomas. But in my original inclination of what Thomas the Tank Engine was, it was like a full-size train with a huge gray face.
Yeah.
And in the cartoon, there's not a lot, there's almost no humans in this cartoon that we watched.
Thank God.
So all the trains are the same size, and it kind of makes them feel like they're small.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're drawn small. I don't know how you could draw something small. Like the scale is so that you never have a human next to them, because I think the worst part about Thomas was just seeing how big it was and how he had like the mind of a child and the body of like a hulking gargantuan steel killing machine, you know?
Well, I think unfortunately in this, when we do see a human, it's inside the train, which is just not a great sentence. I feel like I really had to sit down because most of this movie is filler. 55 minutes of this movie is just like people going, whoa, where? The drill monster, where? And just tons of misunderstanding.
Yeah.
I had to try and wrap my head around the sort of the Thomas universe in terms of, do trains have intercourse and give birth to trains?
Listen to me. I had the exact same thought, and I'm trying not to be weird about it, but you and I are thinking the same thing.
Are doctors mechanics?
A science way, I want to go through like 7th grade, like birth video of how these
train comes
made.
Out of the tunnel. It's mother's tunnel.
Yeah, but what is it? It are doctors mechanics.
Well, obviously I thought about this too. Because what else was there to think about?
Thank you.
But here's what I'll say. All of the trains in this show that we watched appeared to be children. Now, there was the exception of maybe a couple of trains that I think could have potentially skewed older, but it was unclear to me if these trains have sexual reproduction or if they are just built, because there at one point was a machine that was like converting scrap into metal. So I'm like, okay, so they understand metal. They're made of metal. We see the process of making metal. If they are built, maybe they're just all new trains, you know, that, and then like there is no sexual reproduction and you just age as a train.
You guys, as I was explaining what I wanted to see, that birth video of a train, Sean walked in to go come get Lou, and I tried to hard pivot and try to say it as the least weirdly as I possibly can.
Sure.
I was like, I can't face this. I can't face him hearing me say I want to watch a train give birth.
It's pretty tough to hard pivot after saying how do trains have sex? Yeah, I honestly do think there were, because the one train that was like hiding, or like a boxcar that was hiding in like the carts that burst out,
seemed older.
That one seemed older and it was bigger. The drill woman seemed older and she was bigger. The one that had a human inside of her seemed bigger and she was older. So I feel like it is, they do grow as they age, which would mean they are somehow organic, or they do. I mean, I think they are mammals. I think they are. There's live birth.
Mm-mm, they hit eggs.
Unless there's train eggs.
Train eggs.
Yeah, they crawl onto the tracks to fertilize, and then they grow. That's a really great point. That's a really great point, because what would be the point of designing and building a tank engine that was tiny?
Yeah.
It could pull less stuff. Exactly. You would design it big, so it must grow.
Yes. Design it big. Hashtag design it big. I also noticed, and I don't know how purposeful this was or if anybody else picked up on this, it almost feels like a Winnie the Pooh situation, where I don't know if you two know this, but in Winnie the Pooh, supposedly, each character represents like a different mental health issue.
Yes.
So like Eeyore's depression, one of them's anxiety, one of them is OCD. Like they each represent like a different mental illness.
Actually, I had no idea.
A mental health issue. So I feel like in this show, having never seen it before,
also,
I was
so
surprised.
Does Hey Riddle Riddle.
So does Hey
Riddle. We also each represent a different mental health issue.
But the same. We're all the same. But there was one train, like a younger engine, who had to put on like earmuffs because they got overwhelmed by like sound and stuff. There was one that was like constantly anxious. Like it seemed like there was a lot going on.
Yeah, I feel like they were trying to make a concerted effort to have like Bruno, the brake car, being like an autistic character. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is fine. But then there was one point where Bruno was like, I can't remember what he was doing. He was like getting overwhelmed because of the water. Everyone was like freaking out, and he went to hide behind the waterfall and he found some tracks and he got overwhelmed and he said something. I didn't write this down, but he said something and then everyone laughed at him. And then he said, "Why are you all laughing?" And they were like, "Never mind." And I'm like, "That's making fun of him."
That sucks.
And Mariah was like, "Maybe they're laughing with him." I was like, No. Because he asked why they were laughing. So he was not laughing, obviously.
He wasn't on the joke.
I was like, everything else in the show seemed to be pretty cool about it, but I'm like, are they
pretty
doing
dark?
Like, are they? Yeah. I was like, and the whole section where they were like, "Bruno's this way because he got the vaccine." And everyone's like, "Yeah, we all agree that the vaccine made him this way."
Aaron, you didn't see
and
that
I was
part?
Like, that didn't need to be in here,
I
right?
skipped
like,
that part.
We didn't need to have that commentary in here.
Everyone has something about the train's anatomy that confounds them. But the thing that pisses me off the most about these trains is that they can jump.
Yeah. Yes.
They jump
when they want
constantly.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's dangerous, first of all. I'm not going to ride on any of you. And then also, it just doesn't, that part of it, I was like, they can jump. They wouldn't be able to jump.
And Aaron, there was a part where Percy just hopped right off the tracks.
Yes.
I go, well, then why ever use the tracks?
Off rails.
If you could just jump onto the ground like a fucking train on the ground.
Well, that was my thing is they kept, like, there's a point where they took the wrong track and they had to back up. And I was like, can't you all, like, get off the tracks and walk on two wheels? Kind of like the taxi in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Can't you, like, Benny, can't you just do what the fuck you want? Like, what are the rules? And let's stick to those. Also, if you're constantly on the tracks, wouldn't there be other trains nonstop flying by, like, almost crushing you? Like, you what are the rules?
And we're not lunatics. We're not judging this lunatics to the standards of an Oscar-nominated film. We know this is for babies, but we need something to talk about because this is what was voted, okay?
Compared to Platoon, this was dog shit.
Yeah. I'd rather watch the worst Scorsese movie than watch this shit again.
It's for babies, but we have to talk about stuff, so here we are.
You'd rather watch Aviator?
This thing is an hour long. This thing is an hour long, and it needs to be an hour long because, again, that's how long Mommy and Daddy's breaks are. But the way that it gets to an hour is really hard and really challenging for a person who has stuff to do to watch because they repeat things all the time. They really, instead of just saying, like, let's go left, and the other character goes, I agree, they really have to go, like, left? What's left? And it's like, left is the other way that's not right. And it's like, so what you're saying is we should go left? And it's like, I think so. And it's like Oh my God, just make a fucking decision.
I guess going left would be a big adventure.
Yeah.
Gulp.
But as a kid, I can see watching this and being like, la la la, let's go left. And it would be fun. Like, yeah, it would be fun.
Yes. I will say,
let's go left.
Let's go left. I will say this could have, and I guess we're going to get into the plot. So maybe I'll
let's
sit
talk
on this.
About it.
But I will say this movie could have been solved within the first couple minutes if they just followed up. Because there's a voice. Yeah. I guess we'll get to that.
Adel is rubbing his eyes because Adel truly tried to talk about the plot of this movie for about 30 seconds and then said, like, I can't do it. It's
guys,
too much.
We must be 45 minutes into this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
At some point, I was maybe 40 minutes into the movie and Gemma came downstairs and it was in the middle of a song and Gemma goes like, oh, is this a musical? And I go, I don't know. Cause there's two songs. And I'm like, the first song was like 25 minutes in. The second one was like 42 minutes in. I can't tell.
Yeah. It's like,
I wrote
think it's
a
just
song stuff. Question mark, exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point.
Okay. Let's get into the plot. Let's get into
the very first thing that I wrote down is Thomas is blue and Percy is green.
So platoon. Yeah.
They're going into this mine because Percy has to pick up some dirt from the mine to take to the old farmer's place. And then Thomas needs to get some like steel beams and they're all in this mine. And so they're going in here to pick him up. But they get scared because there's loud noises in the mine and like a whining sound, like a howl. And then the dirt, the mine like shakes like an earthquake, and the dirt cars go deeper into the mine, and they think it possibly could be a mine monster.
And they do. It's worth mentioning there is a sign. I don't know if you two saw it. There's kind of off to the lower left corner. There's a sign that says Mine of Mencia, which I thought was just like a subtle little tip of the cap.
That could have been a picture-in-picture issue with your TV.
Huh, come to think of it, I was watching Mind of Mencia.
So, I'm midway through season 3, so no spoilers.
So there's 3 seasons. So the dirt cars go deeper into the ground. And here's what I'll say is like they're freaking out because they don't know what's happened. First, they don't know how the carts disappeared, and then they see one go down into the tunnel. And clearly, it's just like follow the tracks down there. At some point, they start to like scream into the tunnel to be like, hello, hello, hello. And a voice says back, a very seemingly normal, kind, gentle voice says like, hello.
Yeah.
And they scream and freak out. They are terrified. If they would have, in this moment, if they just would have stopped and been like, who is that? Or like, who is it? Explain yourself, whatever.
Do you need help?
Do you need help?
Yeah.
If they would have said anything, this movie would have been signed, sealed, delivered. This movie would have been over. We could have seen the credits at 4 minutes and 30 seconds, but instead they're terrified for no reason and they run out. It's almost,
it's
I mean,
like it's Scooby-Doo like, with no
it's like
curiosity.
Scooby-Doo.
No curiosity with no like with no wonder of like, hey, should we investigate?
Yeah. Also with Scooby-Doo, they're scared of like what their mind's imagination running wild. But when they see someone who's not a monster, they stop and they go, phew, and they relax. In this show, when they see a thing that's not a monster, they continue to run around and panic for 15 minutes.
I think having been a nanny for like 10 years, there's a specific age range of TV shows and movies where it does not hold up to any adult viewing because they literally, their policy is like, we can't even be scared for even a minute. We can't even actually, like, if that was for kids who were 3 years older than that, they would have heard a train being like, woo, woo, down there or something scary. But they, like, since this is for literal toddlers, there can't be any moments of, like, true stress or fear. But it makes it for pretty shitty writing. Because you're like, it's not scary.
Yeah, it should be. If you've seen The Exorcist, it should be like, your mother sucks cock in hell. Like, it should have been. Yeah.
I wish they had said that. That would have been
I wish
way
it was
better.
Like, knock, knock, who's there? Your mother sucks cock in hell.
But I was like, oh, yeah, I haven't watched something that was lit for literal babies in a while. You can't let me live in suspense for even a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At first, at all, I thought when they did see the drill and they were screaming and terrified of the drill, I was like, oh, it's because they have no concept of what a drill is. Otherwise, it would easily explain everything that's going on. But then when the drill's like, I'm a drill, they're like, oh, a drill. And I was like,
wait a minute.
Oh, so you know
so
what
you
this
know
is.
You know what a drill is.
I don't understand how you freak out if you know what it is. Like, you saw it. We saw what it is.
Yeah. I'll also say a little in fact, Platoon was actually made for kids as well. So they did screened a version where people, you know, it was still Vietnam, but people were like, oh, shucks, I've been pinched, because they didn't want to say shot.
Yeah.
But it didn't test well.
Well, it tested great with kids, but the kids weren't buying.
Where do we go from here?
Well, so that whole thing when they run scared out of the mind, that's the cold open. That's the first 5 minutes. And I paused it right after that. And I looked at that 5 minutes and I go, that couldn't have been 5 minutes, right? That took an eternity. That was 5 minutes. And the thing is an hour. Yeah. And every other 5 minutes after that was exactly the same. It was exactly the same in terms of it being just too much.
Yeah. At one point, I kind of zoned out and I was on my phone. And I was like, well, I have to rewind it because I need to be prepared. I truly rewound it and stopped at some point. And I go, I can't tell where I left off because it all looks and sounds exactly the same.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of trains making the huh face.
It's Sisyphean. Mm-hmm.
They go back to the recycling center from here because they get too scared, and we meet a ton of other fucking trains. Now at this point, there's too many characters, and I think maybe Bruno says their name. A couple of them say their names sometimes, but I could not keep track. But there's a bunch of these trains in the recycling center, and they're just fucking hanging out.
Does the one train have like flag elements? Like it almost seemed like there was like African flag elements built into her mm-hmm. caboose. Was I seeing things?
No, I don't think so. Because I was watching it, and Mariah was kind of watching as well, and she was asking who the black characters were, and I was like, I truly don't know.
Yeah.
And she asked about the black train, and I was like, I don't think so.
Diesel. I remember that name, Diesel, because he had the coolest name.
Yeah, he had the coolest name, but he was also kind of a coward. But I think the train that you're talking about, Adel, that may have been a black train.
Okay, but there was like flag element, colors built into the train. I could have sworn
she had the most interesting looking train. I would say
for sure.
Thomas is kind of blue. The other guy's green, kind of boring.
And she had brown eyes.
There's also a couple. Yeah. Support trains too. There's like the tiny little tool train, and then there's like the crane train.
Yep. So the tiny little tool train.
And then
train,
there's Whiff, Mr. Nerdy Exposition.
That name is the best character. I will say the tiny little tool train is basically Inspector Gadget. Like at any given moment, this little train would extend this like rope metal arm that could do anything. Because all the other trains, we have to assume, rely on this little one because they have wheels and that's it. They have no arms. They have no prestidigitation or flexibility. This little train can hold pencils, can like pull out maps, can like pick up stuff.
Well, actually, I have to correct you there. Bruno has the map. Bruno can't hold the map. It can poop the map. Bruno shot the map out of his butt.
Thank you so much.
And then the other train grabbed it.
Yes.
All of these toys made me think that Or all of these trains made me think that there's definitely toy versions of them, because if they have different jobs, then every kid's going to want it. I'm dying to know why kids love trains and trucks so much. But they're super popular toys. They sell so much. I was looking it up. It's crazy how much money they make.
I'll be honest with you. When I was a kid, I don't think I ever watched any Thomas cartoons, but I definitely remember that at some point I interacted with Thomas toys because I also had those railroad tracks, those like wooden railroad tracks. Did you ever have those that you could like they were like not really like Legos because they were bigger pieces, but they snapped together and could form tracks, like, and you could put your trains on them and then my dad also had he got us one of those like remote control train sets once.
Ooh.
Where you could like set that up and then press the button and it would travel on the tracks. That was cool. I liked trains growing up. But I do, and I still like trains a significant amount, like now.
Huh.
But, like, I remember when I first got to Chicago, coming here from Indianapolis, I was very excited to, like, ride the trains, like, to ride public transportation. I remember I was here when I was 17, and, like, the L goes underground and then above ground, and suddenly you're in the loop and you're, like, way up and seeing them. I thought that was so cool. Now, to a certain extent, like I wouldn't base a whole like personality off of it, but I do think that like trains are certainly cooler than cars. Like I don't think there's nothing to me cool about a car.
JBC, the big question that everyone is now wondering, especially me, do you have that little hat? Do you have the little conductor hat?
No, because I don't.
We just saw him throw it behind him.
We saw him throw it behind him.
Fuck conductors. Conductors are people. I care about the trades. We also, Aaron, you and I don't know if you know it. I guess Adil as well. We all have a mutual friend who is a big train enthusiast. And do you know what they call train enthusiasts?
No.
creeps?
They call them foamers.
Foamers.
I learned this from a friend of mine who watches foamer videos on YouTube lot of them are very funny. Well, it's people reacting to trains, and if you've never seen these, if you've never seen people, videos of people getting really excited by trains, please do watch some of those on YouTube.
Why are they called foamers, though?
I don't know, and I don't really remember. And I think it might be like we could probably look this up. It could be like a foaming at the mouth because you're so excited about a train.
Frothing even. I do think, I really have no background in this, but I do think part of it is when you're super into trains, you build like a whole scene. Like it's not just the tracks and the trains and the lights. You build like little hills and mounds and stuff. And most of that is made of foam. So it could be like it stems from like building with foam, carving out of foam. JPC, is Harz the person you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about our friend Harrison. Loves
trains.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
When we were in Denmark together, they were like,
oh, that's right,
giving us a tour of like Odense, and the guy was like, there's a train museum, and Harrison was like, a train museum, and the guy was like, it's for babies.
That's right.
On Urban Dictionary, it says it's because they foam at the mouth when they see.
Yeah.
Wow, rabid.
Now it also says it's often used pejoratively, but I've heard my friend who is a train enthusiast take it on as a badge of pride. So I guess it depends on who you ask.
Hmm. Pretty cool.
So JPC, you were into, as a child, I was into Micro Machines, and they had those little, like you get a little foldable city that you could put the cars in and then unfold it and set it all up. So I like that. But other than that, I was into like Dinosaurs, Animals, and Muscle Men. If you remember the little muscle, the pink guys, which man. Best toy of all time. Aaron, did you have any, as the youngest of the three of us, barely, did you have any, did you watch... You said you watched some Thomas. Was that as a kid?
No, I was an iPad kid.
Just as a nanny?
Okay. An iPad kid, you motherfucker. Wow. You absolute motherfucker.
The 1993 version of iPad?
What was your question? I had that joke locked and loaded. It made it so every other sound sounded like a...
I think you said you watched some Thomas as a nanny. When you were a kid, did you have any...
Yeah, I watched some Thomas as a nanny.
What did you play with as a kid, or what were you into?
I wanted to be a god. So a lot of Fisher... Price, like little people, Legos, Beanie Babies,
doll,
Barbies,
obviously.
American Girl dolls, huge universes with like everyone has their house
that
and stories
controlled.
And generations and generations of people. I was into the like playing pretend of it. Wasn't really into like building things. I wasn't really into trains.
I loved the building aspect. I was huge into Legos. Legos I would say Legos were my like primary toy as a kid.
Did you follow the instructions or did you go off map?
I did. I would follow the instructions, you know, when you get the Lego to like build it into whatever. But then the older I got and the more like those Legos would just fall apart and you just keep the pieces, the more I got into just like building, you know, things myself. I remember I built a very cool spaceship one time using, you know, just like using that. And I played with that for a long time. And then when it broke, I was like, well, I don't really want to rebuild it because
my childhood's dead.
Well, I didn't have directions to build it. So I'd just like be doing that over again.
I love the idea of being like 7 and you drop a toy and it breaks and you just go, my childhood is dead.
It's done.
I'm now a man.
I'm grown up now.
Yeah.
I'd like to pay taxes, please. I couldn't get that out. I'd like to pay taxes, please.
Walk home, grab a beer from the fridge, say, Mom, I'm ready to get a job. Mm-hmm. Ready to help contribute to the rent.
If I lived in a bigger place, I live in such a small place, if I had anywhere to put a Lego set, I would love to be building big Lego sets. But
they have some really cool
huge.
Ones.
Huge.
Yeah, they have some really cool ones nowadays. I've bought in Gemma the three, there's three or four like flower ones. They're like, there's like a bonsai tree, a succulent set. There's like roses and lilies or something. So they have some, I feel like currently there's a lot of cool ones. There's like a Winnebago and like a Vespa and all these cool little items.
I know my nephew is now 7. And so he's getting old enough that he can play with like, I think the Legos are like ages. There's like different age brackets, and like the baby Legos are like 4 to 7, and then the The more cool, complex ones are like 8 to 14 or something like that. I can't remember the age ranges on them. But I do know that I bought him some Legos recently, and those motherfuckers are expensive. I was like,
yes.
Oh, no. Like, these toys, you better hope these kids like these toys, because you're fucking shelling out for these things.
I went to buy the camper van because it's the coolest by far of the sets, the newer sets, and it was okay. $160, $170, and I was like,
Jesus.
Guess I'm not buying that. they have like Vincent van Gogh portraits now. I think our friend of the pod, Thomas, I think bought the Vincent engine. Van Gogh.
That was the I do think that they probably are, there is a more of a market nowadays to sell Legos to adults because so many of people who are adults nowadays grew up with Legos and would be like, oh yeah, like me, I'm like adult Legos. I'd love that because I love Legos, you know? Uh-huh.
Matt Young is an avid collector. Big, big collection.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. So what else can we talk about for half an hour? Because I don't
know. We have to talk about this. Okay, I do want to talk about a little scene that happened in this. Because there's a part where they come back and they're in the train recycling depot and they're talking with all the other trains. And one of the trains is like, hey, weren't you supposed to, Percy, bring that dirt in here? And Percy's like, I got too scared. I left the dirt there. And then the train starts freaking out. He's like, well, if there's no dirt, then the farmer won't get the dirt. And if the farmer doesn't get the dirt, then there won't be any food. And here I'm thinking, what the fuck do you care? Like, you'll live 1,000 years without the food, man. Like, you don't need it. You don't need the food. It's not about the food.
It would be, dare I say, better world building if they, every once in a while, they show them just like popping some coal in their mouth. Like just
something.
Just something where we're like, okay, they are eating. They do need fuel.
Well, there's an electric train character that we meet a little later on, and she like just says like electricity, and then electricity pops out of her, and I go, well, this can't be how people can't be watching this and thinking that's how electric trains work, right?
Yeah, I knew that.
At one point, they're blowing like smoke out of them, and they're like just using a fan to blow the smoke away, and I'm like, come on, guys,
what are we doing?
What is this? What's going on here?
So how to explain the next chunk of the movie?
Well, okay, here's what happens. They all decide when they're at this a train yard. They see some scrap metal from the mine. It's a big X over the mountain saying like, "Oh, we can't go to the mountain. There's something at the mountain." So they call the nerd train out and he's like, "Yeah, there's mines under the mountain." Whiff.
Glasses.
Absolute whiff. He owns the he's got glasses, which why? That must mean they're organic, right? Now, if the eyes are deteriorating. Yeah.
What would you honest question to the two of you. You go, you've booked, you're in Colorado, and there's like a viewing train, like a train that goes through canyons and stuff, very beautiful, you know, national parks and stuff. You go to get on the train. You're very excited. You've paid $3.25 for 6 hours on this train plus meals. You go on the train. You get there. You're about to board. There's glasses on the front of the train. What do you do? Giant glass, like not human size, train size glasses.
You remember when Lyft was first came about and people would put those big pink mustaches on the front of their car as a way to say, like, this is a Lyft?
Yeah.
You remember how quickly that went away? I'd say that train shows up with glasses. Like, if you did that same vacation 6 months later, the guy who did the glasses would be fired. The train would not have glasses anymore. And we'd all be able to just live our lives.
I wouldn't stop walking. I would see that. And then I would immediately turn around. And I go, I'm walking to my destination. Thank you.
I'd start waving at a person that didn't exist and be like, Joseph. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to go see my friend. Get in a car. Walk right past a Lyft with a big pink mustache over it.
Forgot about those pink mustaches. You really brought me back.
I forgot about them, too. Yeah. They truly were gone so fast.
Anyway, they all decide that, you know, they have to be brave. They have to fight this mind monster.
Two different mind monsters. They think for a while there could be two of them.
Because there's Lookout Mountain and there's the mines underneath.
Yes. How many times do you think mime monster was said in this? I'd say 65, 80.
Yeah. Just a challenging amount of times. Yeah. A very challenging amount of times. For
mime, I feel mime monster, challenged. Which is kind of hard to say.
By the
mime
amount
monster.
Of time.
Mime.
Well, they all decide they're going to be brave and they're going to go to the mine. They marshal together and then they leave and then they start singing a song. And I thought, oh no. Like, do we need a song? But it was one of those songs where I was like, this isn't catchy enough, I don't think, to get stuck in a kid's head. Like, it's not like, what was the last big song? The Bruno, we don't talk about Bruno, right?
Oh, yes. From Encanto?
everybody I know that had kids was like, yeah, the kids just sing that song. They want to watch Encanto 1,000 times and they just want to sing that song all day long. This did not feel like the same level of song. It felt like it felt like if you showed the kids this, they wouldn't be leaving the movie singing. I don't even remember how it goes.
We only know what we don't know, and that's what's around the bend. We're trains, and there's two different monsters inside that big mountain over there. Let's go left. Should we go left? We're thinking about going left.
Baby Shark, it is not. I do think our friend Rob White showed me his kids like the My Little Pony movie that recently came out. I'm sure there's several, but there's one that came out and there's a song called like Mob, M-O-B, and it sounds like a Nirvana song and it's so catchy. It's such an earworm. It rips so fucking hard. So that's like the last, besides Baby Shark, that's like the biggest youth to earworm ratio I've ever heard, where it's like meant for such a young audience, but the song is a fucking banger. So if anybody out there wants to listen to it, I think it's just called Mob. By My Little Pony.
Hey, I wrote this down. This is I'm following along with my notes right now, and I wrote this note down. This is my favorite note that I took, and I forgot that I wrote this, and I really want to bring this up. So this is something I wrote down during the song, and it's this: which one of you motherfuckers put this on the review crew list? Because we were all talking in our little text chain. This was never mentioned, and then somehow it just showed up.
That was my first note. Was wait, why are we doing this? Why is this? Why is this?
Aaron.
Aaron, this is you?
No.
No, I
didn't. This isn't me.
Here's what I do.
Adel, how did you find this?
Here's what
happens. Tell me you just Googled Netflix plus mystery and this came up.
No, I went into Netflix and typed in mystery and that's what came up.
You
suck. Because so many people, it is becoming so increasingly difficult to find 4 good options every month that fit the billing of riddles or whatever, whatever
mysteries,
bullshit we
do. Mysteries, right?
Yes.
I also believe that it's our biggest sense of, like, not contention, but people disagree so much about Review Crew because 50% of people go, I skip the episodes where they review something good. I don't find it interesting. I want to hear them in pain about how much Olive Garden they ate or whatever. And then there's half the people who are like, I need, stop reviewing shitty things. Please review this awesome movie that I love. So it's not our fault that you all have a different opinion about it. We're so sorry. We have to do a balance of the two. And this one we love. So next month we'll do something.
I get messages and comments where people are like, why are you reviewing this? Shouldn't it be a riddle or mystery? So then the next poll, I'm like, I guess I better find a fucking riddle or mystery thing, so I end up typing mystery into Netflix search, and then I get this, and then you all vote for it, and then you get mad. What do we?
No one can be mad at us about this because it is a mystery. So we've technically our promise when we did this review crew when we started this thing was to do mystery related stuff. This is a mystery. It's a bad one, but it counts as one. Also, it's bad. So the people who think that who like to see us do bad stuff, you can be happy.
Yeah.
Also, Aaron just said it was good. So everybody who likes good stuff.
We loved it, right? I feel like we're careening towards tens right now. I'm crazy.
I wish I was careening towards 10 because then if I just lost 7 more years, I could like this movie. I think 3 is the perfect age to sink my teeth into this.
I do want to add a quick asterisk here. The song from My Little Pony is called Danger, Danger, parentheses, Angry Mob.
Better get nervous, better get tense, better not let them catch you blinking. You don't need a reason to these engines. This is no time for overthinking. Mob, 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 mob. Angry, angry mob.
Angry, angry. Cool.
So that's what it's called, Danger, Danger.
I wish we had watched that.
I don't remember what that first song was about in this, but it was, were they saying like warning, warning at some point in that song? It doesn't matter. The second song is the one that I want to talk about. And that's the song about everybody do your job and like do a hard day's work.
Capitalist propaganda.
Stay in your lane and work forever.
I couldn't believe it. I went, JPC's going to freak.
I got a little subreddit
I honestly feel like the songs were a welcome break. I legit enjoyed the songs.
You like the work yourself to the bone for the man song? Yeah. Work. A lyric was literally, if you love your job, it will make it feel like it loves you back.
Mm-hmm. And this was propaganda. And I immediately, as soon as that was done, I opened up my laptop and signed into our Zoom to try and get ready because I was like, I can't wait to do my job.
You see, you're 45 minutes early, just like waiting to record. Here's the thing. I was trying to watch this movie as like a guise of like, would I watch, would I want a child watching this, like my child? Would I say like, yes, you can watch that because the messages are good. And, you know, at first I'm like, okay, there's a message about like togetherness. Like if you work together, you can like conquer things even if you're afraid of them. There's some good messages in this. But when they got to that, like, every day, go to work until your boss's money's stacked to the ceiling and you'll be tired at the end of the day and you'll never retire and you'll never retire. And I was like, what is this? I wouldn't want a kid watching this.
That's a privilege.
And Claire's going to leave you. Claire's going to leave you. Taking the kids and she's going to leave you.
And everyone will say it's because you bought too much avocado toast and coffee. Even though your parents bought the house for $40 in 1971.
Well, now it's starting to sound like Blink-182.
Spoiler alert, your job will never love you back. It'll never love you back.
Your house will never love you back either. You can keep making love to your house as much as you want.
I feel like with technology, we are going to get to the point of fuckable houses. That's just
a household.
I'll die on that hill. Here's what I'll say. I think as we're coming to, we got 20 minutes left. As we're coming to a close, I think what we're saying is if anyone from the Thomas Verses out there, hire us to write a Thomas the Tank Engine movie.
No, this is not even written poorly.
No.
It's written. This is written perfectly competently for children. Like it's not, you could hire us to write an adult Thomas the Tank Engine
movie. That's
what
I'm saying. Thomas Knights or whatever.
Thomas Knights. Thomas the Spank Engine.
Thank you. Of course, train. We know where that's headed. But I feel like I recognize that this is one of those things where it's like for kids and kids alone. Because there's things I love like Bluey, which is for kids, but then they're like, we know adults are watching, so let's pepper this in. Or even something like, I don't know if you two ever came across Yo Gabba Gabba. Like, Yo Gabba Gabba to me was like the perfect thing of like, kids are enthralled by this. They are glued to the TV. But as an adult, you're like, oh, the Aquabats are on, or this is so weird that I'm enjoying it, whatever that might be. So I feel like this is in its own, I don't know how much of this content I've come across where it's like deeply for kids and like no one else.
I agree with you, but I don't really watch a lot of things that are like for kids and adults too. I think maybe the last thing I watched that was like Steven Universe, which I thought was actually really good.
Fantastic.
But I think it's probably for kids mostly. I don't know. It's hard to tell with some of this stuff too, because I'm like, is this for kids or is this for like Arrested Development 30-year-old adults
We are rolling into a mystery, making adventure history.
She pulled up the lyrics.
They say we're trains?
No, I added the we're trains. But you believed me. You did believe me.
Hold on. I just had a thought. Oh, my God.
Oh, please.
So we're talking about the trains have intercourse. They give birth to trains. There's a whole...
Were we talking about
there's that? A whole...
Oh, no.
There's a whole biosphere of train life, and they have their own complex system of money and bartering and goods and services. Do we think that there was a train in Able? Do we think there was a train in Able?
Jesus Christ.
Don't think about it too hard. Yes or no?
I can't believe you made me walk that far from train in Able.
Train and Cable. It was probably train and Cable. I'm sorry.
Train and Cable.
No, that reminds me, though, of I saw that tweet recently where it shows the car, the Pope car, and Cars 2 or 3 or whatever.
The Pope Mobile?
And he's a Pope car inside of a Pope mobile car in the Cars universe. And they're like, this implies that someone tried to assassinate the Pope car in that universe at some point, which is why they need the Pope mobile.
The implications are terrifying.
Maybe Lee Harvey Oswald was aiming for the car.
Yeah.
Anyway, one group of trains goes to Lookout Mountain, and one group of trains goes in the mine because they think that they might be connected. It turns out that they are connected, all wind up down in the mine where they meet the mine monster, who turns out to just be a drill, who is, for some reason, for like decades, just been alone. Which, again, that's another point for Machine and not organic. Because if they were organic, they would have gone insane doing that.
And she did to some degree. And she has a drildo. Can we talk about that?
Should we talk about that?
She has a drildo. She has a big old drildo.
This was the part of the movie episode, whatever this thing that was that I watched, where I was kind of I was checking out a little bit. They do that Scooby Doo thing where they're all like chasing each other down in the mine, mm-hmm. except it felt like there was no reveal. It was like just look at her, just look at her. She'll look at you, and you realize you're all the same fucking creature. You're all a creature who is a train with a face.
Yeah.
You're the same. Like, you shouldn't be scared of each other. But they were. And then it took 15 minutes for them to run away and scream.
So long. So long.
This had so many endings. So many endings.
Well, there's a part where they all the trains go back to Hobbiton. And Thomas is in bed. And then Samwise mm-hmm. wakes him up. And then you're like, oh, it's done. And then
So Thomas and Samwise, huh?
Yeah.
We didn't want to go Percy. We didn't want to have another take on that.
No.
No, okay, yeah.
Well, then there's also Shiv and Kendall. And I felt like... Shiv's going through a lot. And
Thomas,
Kendall...
fuck off. Fuck off, Thomas.
Fuck off, Thomas.
We also have not talked about the humans that have showed up, that show up at the very end of this.
I have something to say.
Right? Mr. Topman Hat.
So, this is what happened to me when I was watching this. Mr. Topman Hat starts to speak.
Hot?
And
oh, Freudian slip. You think he's hot?
What?
Hot man.
He's so hot.
Anyway, Mr. Hotman starts to top me. And I
he starts to speak, and I go, I know this voice. I know this voice intimately on a cellular level. Is this an improviser? Is this someone I know in real life? Oh, my God. One of my friends booked. Who is this? And so I'm like on IMDb, and I'm like, and I find out who it is. And then I go, oh, God, no, my brain is so broken. I'm sick. I'm so sick. I'm dead. I'm dying.
Who is it?
A guy from Diana the Musical.
Oh, no.
Famously one of the worst musicals of all time. I beg you to listen to that album because it's incredible.
Watch the whole thing on Netflix. It's so bad.
You can watch it on Netflix?
It's the guy. Yeah. Oh, my God, Adol. It's so bad.
I've only listened to the album.
You guys are dying to talk about anything that's not
Thomas. No, but this was a fly comes by. This is related.
So
and made me laugh
sure
so hard.
No, a road microphone.
So it's the guy who sings the Fuck You microphone. Dress song. He's like, I go here and just impress a princess in a fuck you dress. That guy is Mr. Top Man Hat. And I fucking knew I knew him. And it's such a weird... I don't remember my phone number sometimes, but I knew that guy's voice.
Uh-huh.
Did you recognize any other of the voice actors?
I didn't. He was the only one.
Okay.
Is there big names?
No one sounded familiar to me, so I didn't look it up, but there were so many of them that I was like, maybe some of these would be recognizable to me in some way. The Mr. Top Man Hat or whatever, he talks and he wants to listen to Bruno's story. And then Bruno starts to tell the story of the thing that we just watched and gets a good chunk of the way through the story. I go, and then it cuts away. But I'm like, why am I listening to this? I just watched it. I don't need to hear Bruno talk to me more about the fucking thing that I just watched. Like, Mr. Top Man Hat, catch up on your own time. I'm still here. Did they forget that I was still watching?
They assume a lot of people checked out and they assume a lot of people hopped on. And so they're like, for the people who are just new, we have to recap it. Here's what I'll say. I don't really have an agent anymore or anything, but I would absolutely do a voice for Thomas and the Tank Engine and Thomas and Friends.
I don't think they'll let us after this.
Well, they'd have to be a paid Patreon member to listen to this. And if they are, that means they're already interested in us, Aaron.
Well, let's audition. I'm going to go first. All right.
Okay. Okay. And tell us.
I can't explain my emotions right now either. Ghosts. Battle?
Do you think in that world ghosts are trains with like Victorian dresses?
Oh my God.
You don't see a lot of ghosts with sweatpants anymore, do you? Anymore. Okay, my turn. Let me give a name and a backstory. So my character's name would be... Okay, let me think. My character's name would be Fever. and he's always like hot. He eats too much coal, and so he's always kind of running hot. Okay.
Okay.
This is Fever, as portrayed by Adol Refai, trademark. My name's trademark, not the character. You use the character in whatever way you see fit.
That's a long name.
I don't know, guys. I feel like we should take a shortcut. I guess I'm just running a little hot under the collar.
And he has a big collar. He has a big collar and a tie on.
Oh, no. So just the collar, though, not a shirt, right?
No, just the collar.
Yeah, just
like
the collar.
Like a Chippendale dancer.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I mention he's a stripper?
Your character's name is Fever the Stripper. And he's a train. All right, here. I don't really have a character name, but here's my character.
Okay.
I don't know, Thomas. I think we'd better get all of this dirt back to the farm before the farmer doesn't have enough dirt for his crops.
So that's mine. I think, honestly, can I be honest? I got the best shot.
I was going to say, I think you booked it.
That sounded like a clip from the movie. So we have 10 minutes left.
So they get... He does drop off the dirt to the farmer, and that's the only other time that we see people. And the people are just waving at the train as the train dropped the dirt off. Mr. Topham Hatt or whatever, he is communicating with the trains as well.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the people in this world know that trains are sentient and, like, have a will of their own, but still, like, only exist to labor for them. It is a wild reality that they inhabit. Just a wild reality.
Is Mr. Hot Topman, is he married to the train that he's riding in?
That's a really great question.
I don't want to know. Don't ask questions you don't want the answer to.
I want the answer.
No, you don't.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it makes him more of a villain because of the exploitative nature of, like, his ownership of the train.
Sure.
And he's riding
it,
and it's, like, carrying him to do his business.
Yeah.
He's obviously wealthy, right? I mean, he's got a top hat.
Well, the train he's inside is also the only train that has, like, multiple parts, right? Because she's like a caboose herself, but she also has two cars, maybe? One or two cars?
She has, like, a passenger car, which is what he's in, right?
And the rest of them are, like, self-contained parts.
Well, so all of them, like, there's alliteration, because it's, like, Thomas, the tank engine, mm-hmm. Bruno, the brake car, and Darcy, the drill, right? Something like that?
Diesel.
I don't know what diesel is. He seems strong.
Yeah.
Diesel, the diesel engine? I don't know. But they all have, like, alliteration to their names, or some of them do. I don't know what Percy is. Percy seems to be another tank engine, so maybe there's no alliteration there.
Percy.
But the point being, if one car is a brake car and one car is a tank engine, then that train that we saw at the very end that's two cars pushed together.
Siamese twins.
Yeah, is it twins? Is that twins? Is one of the faces on the inside? Like, what's going on there? Do the passenger cars not have souls as well?
Can we get a foamer to reach out to explain how all this works, please? And I say that term with love and adoration and affection.
I could text Harrison and be like, "Hey, man, can you explain Thomas the Tank Engine to me?" And he'd be like, "No, man, I'm like an adult. I can't help you with that."
Knowing Harrison, I think that's not what he'd say. I think he'd say, "How much time do you
have?"
What
he'd say is, two days later, he'd say, "Hey, sorry I missed this."
Yeah, got him.
Okay, here's what I have. Percy is the smallest member of the main group of engines. He is a happy little chap who is normally quite happy puffing around the yard and is always keen to oblige. Fact of which the other engines are determined to take advantage. Oh, yikes.
What?
That sucks. So he's like a not people pleaser. He's a train pleaser. And they all manipulate him.
I'm sorry, everybody. We have to close the car down. We have a train pleaser on the car. Please make your way to the exits. We got to hose this whole thing down.
And here's a fun, they have a little fun fact. Did you know Percy is the only steam team member to date to be seen being named by Sir Topham Hatt? So there's a few pieces of information here we need to unpack. Number one, they're called the steam team. Did we know that? Because they were calling themselves like the adventure team or something.
This is Thomas and Friends, which might be different than the original Thomas thing.
Okay. Also, something that is blowing my mind right now. He's Sir Topham Hatt. So this man is knighted by, I don't know if the queen is a train in this universe.
Oh, God, is the queen a train?
Is that the last name? Well, no, Sir Topham Hatt is a person, so he could probably just be noted by the regular queen. But is that...
That's fair. That's true.
Is his last name Hatt?
His last name is Hatt, spelled with two T's.
So the breakdown is his name is Sir...
His name is Topham? T-O-P-H-A-M. Topham. Which the Brits would say Topham. Topham
Sir
Hatt.
Topham Hatt.
Like Topham the Morning. Because they don't enunciate every letter.
Imagine what his childhood was like, growing up with a name like Topham Hatt.
Oh my God. So Sir Topham Hatt is the only train to be named by Percy. He's green, just like the remember the train Sir Topham is in is green, and I said it might be his wife. That's his kid. Percy's his kid. We cracked it. We cracked the case. Also, if you look at Percy, he has his little steam thing coming out of the top of his head. Looks like a big black top hat. I just cracked the case. Oh, my God. Give me the president.
And also, if you turn Percy up, if you derail him, you'll see he has, like, human legs, human arms down there. He's half human. He's half top of hat.
So scary.
He has toes. His wheels have toes.
I'd rather that not be the case, if that's okay.
This train has toenails. What's going on with this train? It's growing hair.
Ooh.
Keep walking. Leave your suitcase. Hey, Joseph, keep walking.
So, the end of this, did anyone else get confused as to why there was like an epilogue to an epilogue? Like, I feel like everything got resolved and then the movie kept going.
Yes.
Yeah, because it wasn't long enough.
The drill's not a monster. We know.
It had to be an hour, and they were like, man, we really squeezed it, but it's still 55 minutes. We have to keep going.
I will say, unless my memory is incorrect, I do think it was like 60 minutes on the dot. So I do think it was a contractual obligation.
Yeah. I mean,
that shit was on the
dot. But put the filler in the middle, not the end, right? Am I crazy?
Hey, Aaron, they did. They had filler at the beginning. They put some filler in the middle. There was filler at the end.
It was like eating a Twinkie covered in whipped cream with whipped cream in the middle, whipped cream in the packaging. It's packaged inside whipped cream in a box made of whipped cream.
It's like eating an empty pie.
Yeah.
Like you dig your fork into the pie and it's just like the crust at the top and the crust at the bottom, and it still takes you a while to eat that pie. I do feel that to a certain extent, because I feel like technically what I watched was like, man, an hour of my time. It was like a movie's worth of time to watch something. And I don't know, does Netflix have a function where you can watch things sped up?
I don't think so.
Casey says it does. Yeah. Holy shit.
That changes everything.
Oh my God, I cannot. Now, fuck, you know what? I hate hearing that because that means I could have... Oh, he says maybe only on certain platforms. Okay, good. Maybe if I couldn't do that on my TV, then it's fine. But man, Casey, you've used it. I have to
for
ask
what?
Casey, what have you watched on Netflix sped up?
What is this gonna be,
Casey?
What's this gonna be?
He doesn't want to say.
Yeah, it has to say.
Trying to remember, but I've rewatched stuff at 1.25. I do that for YouTube too. I watch pretty much every single thing at least at 1.25, except for movies and shows that like I'm trying to get the true cinematic experience.
So when you watch True Blood, the vampires are fucking like crazy.
Oh, buddy, I watched that at 2x speed and I watch it 3x.
2x speed on mute, baby. True Blood.
Eyes closed, ass up.
I call it Two Blood.
I play the soundtrack to Cats while I watch it. It works.
I play Yakety Sax while watching Double Speed True Blood, and it actually fucking owns.
That's wicked funny.
I play Yakety Sax while watching Double Dare.
Well, here's what I will say. I think I'm ready to give my final thoughts on this. Yes. My final thoughts are, this is for children, and I believe
by children.
I think, maybe children would enjoy this. The colors were bright. It was a certain length of time. I, as an adult man, could not enjoy it, but I will say that I may have enjoyed it more if I knew that I could have watched it at double speed. Because if I could have made this half an hour, I truly would have lost nothing and gained everything. So I give this, four lumps of coal.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. I'm going to give this. I think this is absolutely not for me. I totally respect what it is. I totally respect what it's doing. It is absolutely for children, and it should stay that way. So I give it one lump of coal, unless my theories are correct. If Mr. Sir Topham Hatt is the father of Percy, and there's this whole unraveling of like a deeper, darker, nefarious plot going on, and it's almost like soap opera-ish, then I give it 9 out of 10 lumps of coal, and I want to keep watching to see what else I can unearth. Aaron?
I'd give this 5 lumps of coal. It's for babies. And it's just okay. I didn't love the Love Your Job, Work So Hard at Your Job song.
Sure.
I think it could have been paced better. The ending, I think I would have given it a way higher score if the ending had stuck it.
They stuck the landing, yeah.
But they didn't. That's okay. Like the animation style, was appreciated how not creepy it was. 5 lumps of coal. And how do we get out of here? Neptune?
Well,
trying all these doorknobs.
Thank everyone who, even though we poked fun at you for not liking, half of you not liking what we do, damn, either way, it's a catch-22. Thank you all for your support. I do want to say we are excited next month to review Platoon. We hope you will enjoy that.
No, and don't, Aaron, that, don't even joke about that.
No. We're doing Platoon. We're doing Apocalypse Now. We're doing Jaws,
Thin Red
and then
Line.
We're gonna do go to a spanking factory and get spanked 1,000 times. What do you think's gonna win?
Jaws.
What do you think people are gonna vote for?
The spanking factory.
The spanking factory.
All right. See you next
we
month.
We keep
for
doing
our
this to
spanking
ourselves.
Factory review.
Aaron,
good night.
Just say any planet. Any planet. Any
I
planet.
Don't know.
Planet of the Apes. Just say Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes. Bye.
Guess Who's Back to give the credits a try. Another show that was hosted by Adam Rifai, Aaron Keefe, JPC, Jake the Snake, and Bill Nye. Wait, no, I'm sorry, those two were lies. Lies. Casey Tony edited the show just for you. Ooh, and Arnie Parrott wrote the theme you're listening to. Ooh, he wrote this extra line that he will not need to use. Oh well, that was Hey Riddle Riddles. Reviews.